Well, praise God. Can you hear me okay? I feel like a receptionist down at Halifax Building says hi to this on. I keep wanting to go like that. I keep thinking it's a fly. So it flies over there this morning. You know what's happened, don't you? I've been pastor's office when he gets back. Yeah, but good. You heard the story, didn't you? The guy was preaching. And he was halfway through his sermon. And he looked up and there was a guy at the back of the church asleep. Have you heard this one? Well, he's at the back of the church. He's at the back of the church asleep. Now, we haven't got any old men here. We've got some one or two middle-aged men, no middle-aged. But the pastor looked up and he saw this old guy asleep. So he said to the old lady that was sat at the side of the old guy, "Excuse me, love, can you wake him up?" She said, "No, you wake him up, you've put him to sleep." So this morning I'm praying, like Billy O, that I don't put you to sleep. You know, if I do, if I see you nodding, I'll be throwing some at you. But this morning, Resurrection Sunday morning, I'm taking this run off making too much noise. I've only been married since my 40th anniversary with the ring. Put it in my pocket. So anyway, Resurrection Sunday. You know, the resurrection of Jesus is such a powerful truth if we can get hold of it. It really is. It's the most powerful truth we'll ever understand if we can truly get hold of it. And, you know, Jesus has made a remarkable difference globally in the world which we live. There are millions of people this morning all over the globe celebrating the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. We're not on our own, friends. I'll tell you, there are millions upon millions of people globally this morning celebrating the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And this morning I was just reading, this is not what I'm going to speak on, but I was reading in Matthew 28 about the guards who were sat. You know, I'd love to have seen the guards' faces. There was sat guarding the tomb. He wasn't there, but they thought he was there. You know, and they're outside the tomb, guarding the tomb where Jesus was. And then an angel come and roll the stone away, and he's not there. He's gone. He don't need an angel to roll the stone away. And two guards couldn't stop him if they wanted to. But I would just love to see the faces on the guards' face. He said they were like dead men. You know, I bet they were and all. Where is he? Oh, he's not here. You know, you can't keep a good man down, can you? No. You know, and Jesus, this morning, all over the world will be being celebrated for his resurrection. You know, I was thinking, you know, historically we all know, don't we, that Jesus, 2,000 years since, went to the cross. Didn't Jean do a good job on Friday, bringing us to the cross? She did. It was really good on Friday. But 2,000 years since, historically, we all know that Jesus died on the cross, don't we? And then he was raised from the dead. But this morning, it's more than that. This morning, we're celebrating Jesus. Because when Jesus was at Lazarus' tomb, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." So this morning, we're celebrating Jesus Christ, not only who died for you, but rose for you as well. And if that doesn't get you this morning excited, this morning that you're serving a Saviour, who is alive, who is well, you know. And when we were singing them songs, I was thinking, you know, he didn't want heaven without us. He wanted us to be there. And what a wonderful thing that is, isn't it, really, when you think about it, that, you know, he wanted us to be where he is. You know, sin separated that. But this morning, I thank God that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down, died for us, rose for us, and we're going to spend eternity with him. And if that doesn't excite us this morning, I don't think anything will excite us at all. You know, you can visit the tomb of any of the great, well, don't call them great. No, they're not great, but if you can visit the tomb of any of the religious leaders you want anywhere, and you can find the bodies there. You can visit the tomb of Jesus and you'll not find his body because he's risen. And this morning, the tomb's empty, he's alive, and each one of us love him, don't we? You know, the new life that I'm talking about this morning is not just for us, it's for everybody. You know, we can get so thinking it's all about us, and it's not. Jesus died for the whosoever. You know, Jesus loves the people out there just as much as what he loves me and you. He don't love them any more. He doesn't love them any less. I've heard it said that he loves sinners more than he loves those that he doesn't. Jesus loves everybody exactly the same. He loves the person out there that doesn't know him, just as much as he loves each one of us that do know him. So we've got to get that straight. We're all loved by Jesus, whether we're in the kingdom or out of the kingdom. And what I want to speak about this morning, we could, if you wanted a title for it, it could be Jesus, the Friend of Sinners. I like that title because Jesus is the Friend of Sinners. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And at one point, before we found Jesus, we were lost. You know, nobody had to tell me that I was lost. I knew that I was lost. I knew that the sin in my life was something that separated me from Jesus. You know, and 40 years since it is now, it's over 40 years since I accepted Jesus. And it's the best thing I've ever done in my life. You know, people say, you've given up this year. I've given up nothing. I haven't given, you know, I was watching people last night, you know, celebrating Easter. And people celebrate Easter all sorts of different ways. People think it's, you know, go and get drunk. That's celebration. You know, they might do 101 things to celebrate Easter. You know, but I'll tell you what, I wouldn't swap any of them, anything, for what I have. You know, what I have is eternal. What they have is temporal. You know, and the thing that we need to do as believers of Jesus is we need to reach those that are lost with the good news of the gospel. Because it is good news. You know, if you're sinking, if you're dying in your sin, I want to tell you something. You need, when you're sinking, you need an handout. You know, I remember years ago at a conference, and they were on about, does it matter whether it's a man or a woman who preaches? And you know, like some people say, women shouldn't speak. We don't have that here, you know. We don't have that here at all. Some, you know, we've got good speakers. But the thing is, but some people don't think women should preach. And I look at it this way. I don't know why they think like that, but I look at it this way. If somebody's drowning, are they bothered who throws them a lifeline, whether it be a man or a woman? You know, if you are in water up here and you can't swim and you're drowning in your sin, are you going to take a lifeline if it's a woman that throws it? Yeah, aren't you? And, you know, that's how it is with God. You know, God's no respecter of people. God's word is his word. It's as powerful in a lady's mouth as in a man's mouth. Exactly. You know, it's not less powerful or more powerful. It's God's word. God's word is powerful. And whoever delivers it, if it's God's word, it's powerful. Amen? Well, I want to speak to you this morning, Jesus, about Jesus, the Friend of Sinners. And the scripture that I want to look at is Luke 15. Now, I could read all Luke 15. It took me about 10 minutes. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to just go through little bits of it. Well, I'm going to speak about it all, but Luke 15, verses 1 to 3, it says, "Now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathered around to hear Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Friends, whatever you do, don't get religious. Jesus had most of his battles with people that were religious. You know, I just love Jesus, you know. He eats with sinners. You know, he's out there with them, isn't he? You know, sometimes we can get the attitude of being more holier than thou. You know, we haven't to get that attitude. Jesus eats with sinners. In one version, it said, I think it's the King James version, it said he eats with sinners and Republicans. That's Jesus. You know, never mind the religious people. Even Donald Trump, yeah. He loves Donald Trump. Yeah, but the thing is, it says he eats with sinners. That's Jesus. Because his heart is for the people that are lost. The religious leaders then didn't want Jesus to have nothing to do with the people that were less fortunate than them. But I want to say something this morning to you, friends. All that we have, whatever it is, God has given it to us. We haven't earned anything. You can't earn salvation. So stop trying. There is groups out there that think the more you do, the higher you get. Rubbish. We're saved by God's grace and God's grace alone. And that's the only thing that saves you. So you don't have to work any harder. You don't have to work any less. You've just got to be a Christian doing what God wants you to do. And that is reach the lost. That is the whole point of Jesus coming. Reaching those that don't know Jesus. So he had a bit of a battle with the religious community, did Jesus, at the beginning. Because, you know, they were just, well, I don't know what the word is really, but they were battling him all the time. But Jesus wasn't bothered about that. Jesus just wanted to be with people that needed him. And Jesus loves each and every one of us the same. So this scripture in Luke, it's broken down into three parables. Well, they say, don't they, that most good sermons have 3 points. Well, I don't have 3 points. So whether you call this a good sermon or a bad sermon, I don't know. But I have three parables. So, and what all a parable is, right? A parable is, it's an earthly story with an heavenly meaning. And it's a way that Jesus can explain to you what in a way that we can understand, but with an heavenly meaning. And these three parables, one is the lost sheep, one is the lost coin, and the third one is the lost son. And these parables, they're two of them's the same, but one's a little bit different, and I'll tell you how it's a little bit different later. But the first one and the second one are the same, and the third one's a little bit different. And the first one is, I'll just read the first one in the, it says, let's go for it. It says, Jesus told, it says here in verse 3, suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder, goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, rejoice with me, I have found this my lost sheep. I tell you that there is the same. In the same way, there is more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than the 99 that are saved. Jesus takes it very seriously about things that are lost, the sheep. You know, many, many years since, over 40 years since, I used to look after sheep up on Epsonstall Moor. And I don't know if you know, Steve will more than likely know what I'm going to say in a minute, but the farmer that had the sheep, they were Grixton sheep. You'll have heard of them, won't you, Steve? They're quite an hardy sheep, hardy. And we used to put them on Epsonstall Moor. And there was 450 of them, and we spent 3 months one year fencing it all off so the sheep wouldn't escape. And guess what? They escaped. Now, we did a good job. We put fencing there. We put barbed wire on the top. The only thing we didn't do was have some guns. And these sheep were experts at escaping. But, you know, in this story, Jesus is on about the lost sheep. Now, when a sheep gets up in the morning, right, when it wakes up in the morning, I don't think that it decides, hey, today I'm going to escape. You know, I don't like the shepherd. I'm not so keen on the dog because it nips me. So I'm going to escape. No, I don't think it happens like that. I think what happens is they just drift. They're walking around the field and they see a gap in the fence. I think, I wonder if I can get through there. And they try and some get stuck. You've seen them stuck. You know, I had to free one the other day. It got its head through a thing like that. I always thought it could get a body like that through that. I don't know. But its head was stuck. So the drift. And what I'm saying to you this morning is people outside of the kingdom, you know, I don't think they hate God. I don't think for a minute that people out there, some might do, but I think the majority of people out there don't hate God. I think what they do is they just drift away. You know, if you're like that, God and man, and you get off course just a little bit, by the time you get down here and God's going that way, you're going that way, you're a long way off him. And I think a lot of people out there are not God haters. I think they've just drifted, just like the sheep. You know, they've made a wrong choice or something, and before you know it, they're miles off God. And if you was to ask them how they got there, perhaps they wouldn't even have a clue. They wouldn't know how they got where they got, but they're nowhere near God. And when we used to look after sheep on Epsonstall Moor, right, and it's true is this, because I was like a, can you believe it? I was like a shepherd, eh? The sheep loved me. We used to go 3 times a week with 2 bags of pellets, and we used to have some long troughs, and we used to put the pellets in the trough like that, and we'd say, I'm not going to do the noise because she'll laugh, but we used to make a noise, right, and the sheep used to put their head up and look at us, and they used to come running downfield, and they'd be all coming to think, hey, in a minute I'm going to get crushed. And there'd be 200 sheep round you, and they'd be moving their heads, knocking one another over to try and get the, you know, get, try and get the food. And then you think, they don't look to be 400 here. So then you'd leave them eating, you walk up, and you'd find one over the wall that had got out and couldn't get back in. It were bleating to come back in, you know, because it couldn't hear my voice. And it's a bit like that with the word of God. If we hear God's voice and keep into his word, we're quite safe. When that sheep used to get over the fence in Epsonstall, it couldn't hear what I was saying because it was a quarter of a mile away. You know, I had to get it back over the fence and get it back in it and run back down to the others. It didn't want to be lost. It was lost because it had made a wrong choice. And in life, people are out there, and the thing what's happened is they've just made wrong choices, you know. But the wonderful thing is today that Jesus is pursuing those people, and he loves those people. And 2,000 years since, he died for those people. So they are of great value and great worth to God. They're not worth any more than what we are. They're not worth any less, because he loves everybody the same, but they are valuable. And what we've got to be careful of, I think, that we don't get the mentality that we are better than them. We don't need to get religious. Religion will muck you up. What we need is to have relationships with Jesus. That's all we need. So just like this lost sheep in the story, what happened in the story was this. The farmer left the 99 that was safe, went out and got the one that was lost. And you know, this sheep mustn't have been a very rebellious sheep, because he said he put it on his shoulders and brought it back home. Now, I tell you what, I've never known a sheep like that. I really haven't. I've had bruises where I've tried to catch a sheep where it's been struggling, and if they're big, and Grixton sheep are big, aren't they, Steve? They're not them little dark little black ones. These are big, strong. And they start pulling, and you get your leg off and you can ride one. You can be going down. You can actually be riding one of these sheep. It's like, whoa, here we go, boy. No, don't do the fence. Stop with me on your back. Get off. You know, it's like that. But this sheep that Jesus was talking about, he put it on his shoulder and came home. You know, and I was thinking this morning about people that are lost. Some will come back easy to Jesus. Some will take a little bit more effort and a bit more time. You know, I think sometimes we give up on people far too early. You know, I'm glad when I became a Christian, 40 odd years since, people didn't give up on me. You know, I've told you my story many times. There were three old ladies in our church, Lily, Violet and Rena. I wanted to call them the three amigos, but they were better than that. They were prayer warriors. And when they said to you, I'm going to pray for you, you might as well have gone like that. Surrender. But they're like little Jack Russell Terriers. Once they got into you, once they got their teeth into praying for you, you might as well have just surrendered to Jesus. Because they said to me, when of my first visit at Elam Church over 40 years since, they said to me, it is lovely to see you, lad. And they were a lot older than me. I was only a young man then. I was only, I don't know, 17. So I was only a young lad. Shook hands with me and said, you know, lovely to see you, and we're going to pray for you. And I thought, coming out of the church, I thought, well, they're lovely old ladies, but if they've nothing better to do with their time, let them pray. You know, I didn't know at that time that prayer worked. I didn't know that it changed anything. And prayer does change everything, doesn't it? So they said they're going to pray for me. So I thought, well, you'll give them something to do. That's what I thought. 6 months later, I'm up at Ruth's house. And I'm starting to cry over a record. Now, I wasn't brought up to cry. My dad was an ex-miner. We didn't do crying. If I came in and said to my dad, somebody's thumped me, he'd say, well, go out and thump them again. Have a go at him. I said, well, he's up here, Dad. Well, that's hard. He just hit him harder. That's how we were brought up. I'm honest. You know, I weren't brought up to cry. I mean, Ruth's house crying over this record. And I'm thinking, what's going on here? Something going wrong with me. And I realised what it was. Now, I didn't know then, it was because these three elderly ladies had got me in prayer. And it was like, it was like a net. You couldn't get out of it. You know, it was just wow. And then I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Saviour, and the rest is history. But as Jesus went to get the lost sheep, each one of us have a responsibility, haven't we, to go and reach the ones that are lost. Because you know, friends, the only thing that we will take with us when we get to heaven, it's not our houses, it's not our cars, it's not your bank balance, it's the people we lead to Christ. Them are the only people that are going to go with us to heaven. And like in this story, Jesus puts value on everybody and everybody's life. The second one is the lost coin. And I'm going to just find this lost coin. It'll come up in a minute on here. The lost coin, right? It's a little bit different, but similarly it says, or suppose a woman had 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbours together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost coin. In the same way, I tell you, there is more rejoicing in heaven in the presence of angels over one sinner who repents. Right, so in the sheep, unintentionally lost, the coin unexpectedly lost. Because a coin hasn't got a will, has it? You know, I've no money on me. Who's got it all? I've no money on me at all. But a coin hasn't got a will, has it? You know, it hasn't. You know, so it's unexpectedly lost. You know, and I was thinking about this, and it's not a coincidence here that Jesus uses a woman in this. Because if it had been a man, it would never have been found. It wouldn't. It wouldn't. Ruth says to me often, she says to me, I'd say to her, does anybody lose anything ever? Is it only me? I lose things regularly. I can lose my keys 4 and 5 times a day. What I can do is I can put my key there in that pocket. I've got my coat on, so that pocket there, that pocket there, that pocket there, that pocket there. So I want my key. So I go in that pocket there, it's not there. I put it in that pocket. So I go in that pocket, no. I go in this one, no. It's always in the last pocket. Now, I don't know how it gets there, but it's never in the pocket I've put it in. I lose keys. I lose money. Ruth says to me, have you lost a fiver? I said, no, it's in my back pocket, it's gone. Now, I don't know where it goes, but it gets unexpectedly lost. It really does. I don't put it there, it just goes. And, you know, I was thinking about people in life today. People, through different circumstances, not of their own doing, but can be pulled away from God. It could be, for example, let's think, it could be the loss of a child. It could be an unwanted divorce. It could be 101 different reasons how circumstances can pull you away from God and you can feel apart from Him. You know, sin has an harvest. You know, sin, when you sin, people say, oh, it can be pleasurable. Well, for a while, maybe. But sin usually has an harvest and consequences. You know, if people continue in sin, there's usually a price that they'll pay. You know, if people break into shops, the price could be putting in prison. You know, there's 101 reasons I could give you about, but the thing is, with this, when the woman finds the coin, she rejoices and tells her friends. And you know, one thing I want to say this morning is, people get lost sometimes and don't even know how they get lost. You know, I lose things and don't even know how I lose them sometimes. I really don't. I'm thinking, and it panics you. You know, I remember as a little boy once in Halifax, and my dad said to me, and I don't know if he was doing this to learn me a lesson or not, but I was only a little kid. We had the pub over there. I said, Dad, I want to come to Halifax with you. He said, well, you have to keep hold of me hand, because he knew I were a bit of a beggar and knew I wanted to be off somewhere. I said, I'll keep hold of your hand, Dad. I want to come to Halifax. So I don't think I've ever been to Halifax before. I'm only a nipper. So I'm holding my dad's hand. And when we got to Borough Market, I didn't want to be under my dad's hand. You know, I wanted to be away. I wanted to be down there or up there. So he let go of my hand and I run. Next thing, I couldn't find him. Panic set in. When you're a little kid and you lose your parents, it's like, you know, where are they? Now, I think my dad knew where I was, but I didn't know where he was. Do you know what I mean? I don't think I knew. Well, I didn't know where he was because I'm running around thinking, where's my dad? I might have been crying and all. I don't know what I've been doing. I can't remember. But my dad turned up, and I think he was watching me. I think he was learning me a lesson. Do you know what I mean? Keep hold of it. And then he said to me, I don't know if you give me a, might I give me a crack on back. I don't know, back on backside. And, right, keep hold of my hand now, lad. And I'm like that then with him. I found his leg. Yeah, you know, just kept on. I weren't going to let him go about all. Once bitten, twice shy. But when you're lost, it's a horrible feeling. And through circumstances sometimes, not of your own doing, you can feel away from God. Because sometimes that's what our sin, and it's not the sin that you've committed. It can be sin that other people have committed. But it can make you feel a bit estranged and a little bit away. Well, the good news is today that Jesus loves you with an unconditional love. You know, He can't condone sin, but he loves people. And this morning, if you're in that situation where you felt damaged or injured through no fault of your own, the good news is this morning that Jesus loves you, that Jesus cares for you, and he wants the very best for you. He's got a wonderful plan and a wonderful future for you. And so even if you're unexpectedly lost, you know, this woman put the light on, searched the house. Many a time in our house, I'll say, Ruth, I've lost my wallet. She'll say, well, look for it. So I'll go and have a look. I was sat in that chair, so I'll go like that and move the cushion. Say, no, I can't find it. But I've been upstairs to the toilet. I might have been in the bathroom, bedroom, kitchen. She'll say, I'll have a look. And then she'll come down 3 minutes. It's annoying, this. Is it only happened to me? I've been looking for 20 minutes. Like, I've looked behind the couch. No, it's not there. I'm panicking. She comes down. I say, Ruth, I've lost my wallet. Have you looked in kitchen? Yes. Have you looked in so-and-so? Yes. Have you looked? Yes. I've looked everywhere. Just help me find the wallet. I need to get out. She'll come down steps, go into the kitchen. She'll go like that. It's annoying. I'm sure she hides it. She'll say, yeah. Where were it? It were on kitchen table. It what? You know, it weren't on the kitchen table, Ruth. I've looked on the kitchen table. It were not on the kitchen table. It was. Where were it? Show me where it was. It were there. Well, I've been here. It's like, I can't see it. It's unbelievable. Is it only me as this? Yeah. Only me? Yeah. Oh, well, that's all right then. It only happens to me. That's brilliant, you know. But it does. And it's so annoying. But, you know, it's a relief when you find it in it. You think, and you look at it and there's no money in it, but, you know, don't matter. But God is not only looking for the lost sheep, he's looking for the lost coin. And you might not fit into either of those categories, you know. You might be in the third category. And this category, the lost son, now this is a bit of a different one. And this story about the lost son, I don't know whether I like it or I don't like it. I could read it to you. I'll read a little. Well, you know the story, don't you, the lost son? Do you know the story of the lost son? A guy has two sons. The youngest one of the sons comes to his dad and says, Dad, I want my inheritance. And it bothers me a little bit, that. I mean, I haven't got a son. I haven't got a daughter. I've had impact in lots of young people's lives and tried to encourage them. But I haven't had a son or a daughter. But I'd find it a little bit hurtful. You know, if my son came to me, if I had a son, let's pretend I've got a son. And he comes to me, right, and says, Dad, I want my inheritance. I think I'd be feeling a little bit hurtful. Because all that I have is his anyway. It's like him coming to me and saying, Dad, you know, I know you're going to live till 120. So I'm going to be 100 by then. And I'm not going to have any fun with the cash. So can I have the money? Now, he must have been a good dad, because I don't know if I'd have done it. This guy in the story here must have been a good dad, because he divided his wealth, gave it to the two lads. The young one thought he could do better without his dad. And if there's a bit of an heading in this part, it's poor lifestyle choices. Because the choices you can make in life can make a lot of difference. Now this guy, he gets his wealth, and in 2 days he's out of here. Because he can do better. He rejects his dad and all what's going on, and he's out there in this big, great world where he can live life to the full. And he left home. He did a time of having wild parties and wild living. He ended up with nothing and working on a pig farm. Now, Jesus is talking here to Jewish people. One, Jewish people don't eat pig. But this must have been a real, real insult, because he weren't just eating pig. He was eating the food that the pigs was eating. Now, it doesn't get much lower than that. For a Jewish person, it doesn't come any lower than that. Not just eating the pork, but he's eating the food that the pigs was eating. So that's low, isn't it? It's quite bad, isn't it? Well, I think it's bad. You know, I think it's as low as it gets. And then it comes to his senses. Isn't it good when people come to this? Who's ever come to the senses? four of us. So he comes to his senses and he thinks, well, the people that work for me down are living a lot better life than what I'm living. I'm here eating the pig food that the pigs are eating. And people that work for my dad are eating good food, they're looked after. Came to his senses and thought, I need to do something about it. So what did he do? He made a good choice. He turned around and started going home. Now, where the twist is in the parables is, the first one, Jesus went to look for the sheep. The second one, the lost coin, went to look for the coin. The third one, the father never went to look for the son. The son turned around and headed back home. When his father saw him coming towards him, he ran to greet him. And when he hugged him and loved him. Now the father loved the son, but the son, out of his own free will and his own choice, decided to turn around. He made a good choice. You know, he thought, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of eating the swill that the pigs are eating. I'm better at home. So what happened then is, he turned around and started going home. His dad came and greeted him and then said, his dad said to his one of the servants, bring a robe. Who knows, friends, you know when you come to Jesus, he gives you a robe of righteousness, doesn't he? Puts a ring on his son's finger and gives him shoes. He must have been in a bad state, you know, give him some new shoes, because now he was on a new track. He was back with his family and his dad took him home. And they had a celebration because that son was lost but now he's found. Now the thing is, it doesn't end there in this story because there's an older brother. And what we have to be very careful of, that we don't get the older brother mentality. The older brother wasn't happy with the son, with the dad, for allowing the son to come back in, because he didn't want him back. And I sort of get this in a way, but I don't get it. Why would the older brother not want the son, who had gone far from God, to come back? Why wouldn't he want that? I don't get it. You know, I don't understand it at all. And we've got to be very careful that we don't get that mentality. We're no better than people out there. We're sinners saved by grace, aren't we? You know, we were sinners, but now we're saved by grace, right? This lad made some bad mistakes and he paid for it. When he had all the money, he would have had quite a lot, I should imagine, of, what's the term? Is it fair weather? Friends. When you've got brass, you always have friends. But your true friends are there when you've no money. This lad ended up with nothing, nobody, till he turned around and made a prime choice. And I was looking at this story here, the older brother concerns me. Because he was judgmental. He didn't want the best for his younger brother. And we've got to be very careful. There are people out there that have made wrong choices. Look, I meet them daily. They've made wrong choices in life. And if you was asked to ask them, how have they got to where they've got? They wouldn't have a clue, some of them. Some would, a lot of them wouldn't have a clue. But Jesus loves them people. And because he loves them, we've got to love them as well. You know, we've got to show them the love of Christ. You know, when at the start of this, when Jesus was with the sinners, verse 1, he associated with sinful people. You know, we've got to associate with people out there. You know, what we have is great here, but the bigger picture is Jesus wants us to go out there and share with the people that's out there. And the older brother, I think, really is a very big concern. We need to make sure that we never like the older brother. We need to make sure that when people come into the church, whatever state they're in, we've got to love them. Because Jesus plays value on people's lives. He really does. We're not the ones that can judge. We can't judge people's hearts. Sometimes we do, and sometimes we get it wrong. But I'll tell you what, Jesus died for the whosoever. And he died for the kings and queens and the royalty and the lords and all that. But he also died for the people that's in the gutter. And he places as much value on their life as what he does on the queen's life or somebody else's life like that. Everybody is so valuable to Jesus. And we've never to forget that. So what we need to do, I think, is start to make good choices. There's only you can do it. You know, if you make a bad choice, the consequences can be really bad. They really can. Depends what the choice you make. You know, if you decide to jump off a cliff and you haven't got a parachute, it's the wrong choice. The chances are, if you're a Christian, you'll be in heaven a little bit quicker. You know, it's a wrong choice, isn't it? You know, if you decide to walk out in front of a bus, it's not a right good choice, is it? Not unless it's stopped. If it's going down the road, you want to keep well aware of it. It's a wrong choice. We need to start making right choices. And the right choices that we can make is loving people as God loves them. That is a right choice. You know, we're no better. Never forget that. We're no better than anybody else. We really aren't. God loves everybody just the same. And the things this morning that I want you to take away with really is, despite your circumstances and your situations, you're of great value to God. Whatever you're going through at this moment in your life, you are of great value to God. Jesus wants to be a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. I'll tell you, friends, I've got loads of friends, but I've no friend like Jesus. Jesus wants to be your friend today. You know, if we're in sin, we need to repent of sin and return back to God. Sin slowly destroys. It really does. And when we do that, all heaven will rejoice. You know, when somebody accepts Jesus, there's a party. You can understand why, can't you? Jesus paid an high price. You know, he gave everything. So when one sinner returns home, Jesus pays, he's paid an high price, but there's a party goes on. So we don't want to, you know, when we see somebody saved, you know, we need to rejoice. We really do. Because it changes everything. It really does. You know, so when people come in, we've got to love them with God's love. When they accept Jesus, we've got to really rejoice with them, because it's the biggest decision that anybody will ever make. You can't make a bigger decision than either accepting Jesus or rejecting him. You know, God's given us a free will. Yeah. And God will honour your free will. Yeah. He'll honour your free will right to the gates of hell. He will. Or he'll honour your free will to accepting him. Do you know what I mean? We've got a free will. He won't take that will away from you. You can decide today whether you want to love Jesus and follow Jesus, or you can decide whether you want to reject him and not bother with him. Like I say, he won't take your free will away. He won't send you to a lost eternity. You send yourself, because he wants you to come. He wants you to accept him and come into the kingdom. And I was thinking, you know, just as Jesus rose from the grave, you know, he's coming back again. Jesus Christ is coming back again. He hasn't left us down here. You know, he really hasn't. In the scriptures, it says that he's going to come again. We don't know when. It says he's going to come like a thief in the night. You know, and I'm sure if somebody was going to break into your house, they don't ring up, do they, before? You know, it's like, hello, are you in? Yeah, well, tonight I'm coming at 9 o'clock, so make sure your jewelry's on the top of the, you know, I'll be there. No, they don't do that. What happens if somebody's going to break into your house is, there is one or two stupid thieves. They usually wait till you're out. Then when you're out, they think, hey, easy picking. Bit cheap, that one. No, they don't. And they get all your jewellery and they go. You don't know about it, do you, till you go home and you think, dear me, what's happened here? Your house has been ransacked. People's been in. Jesus said he's going to return like that. So there's no warning. You know, I remember 40 years since thinking in a meeting when the minister then said that Jesus is going to return, you need to put your life right with him. I remember going home as a young man thinking, well, if Jesus was to come back tonight, I wouldn't be going with him because I knew that I'd still sin in my life. And it bothered me. And this went on for a few weeks till I surrendered and gave my life to Jesus. The thing is, friends, none of us know when Jesus is going to return. It could be today, could be next week, could be next year, could be next 10 minutes. None of us know. It says no one knows the hour or time when he will return. But what we do know is we need to be ready. That's what we do need to know. And just like a thief would come and rob your house and not tell you, Jesus is going to return like that. Those that know him are going to go with him. Those that don't know him are not going to go with him. And accepting Jesus is the most important thing that anybody can ever do on the planet. It really is. Accepting Jesus. And once you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, your eternal future is totally secure. You know, it's the best thing you could do. You know, if I had £1 million in that hand and I could say, you accept Jesus, you accept Jesus, I tell you that is worth a lot more than that. It's worth a lot more because it's eternal. You know, and just as Jesus rose from the dead, and when we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we will rise with him as well. He says, don't it, that those that are dead, when he comes back, they will rise. If we are real, we will go. I'm not keen on flying, but that day I won't mind it because he'll be in control. It's when you get, if you've been to an airport, haven't you? And I haven't done a lot of flying, but you go to an airport and I'm like, first time I flew, I got a big bag of sweets like that and I'd eaten them before we got on plane. Good job I didn't drink. It's a good job I'm not a drinker. I might have drink about three, but I'm like, I've eaten a big bag of sweets. Like, oh. But then you think, I don't know if I want to get on plane now because I don't know if I'm going to be sick. Or so on. And then you see the pilot come in and he's walking like this. Which plane's he going on? Our plane. You know, I think, I hope he's all right. You know what I mean? When Jesus returns, and when we go to be with Jesus, he's in control. There'll be no aeroplanes needed. There'll be total devastation. Have you ever thought about it? When Jesus comes back, when he comes back, right, there'll be planes flying. Jesus will come back. If the pilot's a Christian, bang, he's gone. So you sat there thinking, this plane seems to be going down a bit fast. Yeah, because pilot's gone. There's going to be total devastation when Christ returns. There'll be people driving wagons on the M1. Love Jesus. Bang, he's gone. That wagon shouldn't be in that field, should it? No, there's no driver in it. There's going to be total devastation in the world when Christ comes back. There really is. It's going to be a scary place to be. And I'm not saying this to scare anybody. What I'm saying is this, that we need to start making right choices in life. We really, really do. You know, I could have notes here. I don't know. I've changed these notes about 20 times. I don't know. Yeah, but what I'm saying this morning is the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. You know, the stories that Jesus told just so that we could, our people get lost. And people get lost in all sorts of circumstances in life. They really do. You know, whether you feel like you're in the lost sheep, or the lost coin, or the lost son, whichever fits, you know, the best. It doesn't matter, really. People that are lost need a saviour. We have the truth. We have Jesus Christ. And what we need to do, friends, is this. We need to pray and see who God wants us to talk to. Because it's very important that we don't miss opportunities in helping somebody come to know Christ. I think I'm going to finish there. So, isn't God good? Are you glad that he's risen? Are you glad that he's alive? You know, this morning, friends, if Jesus hadn't have rose from the dead, your faith and my faith would be in vain. It would. But Jesus did rise from the dead. Our faith is not in vain. You know, we serve a risen Saviour whose spirit lives within us, whose presence is here this morning, who loves you with an unconditional love. What a deal. You know, what a deal that is. You know, the salvation that we have, it cost Jesus everything, but it was free for us. So I'm going to end on that. So I want to just pray, and I think we're going to sing a song, and then we're going to have a bit of fellowship together.